My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
A young boy once complained to his father that most of the hymns they sing in church are boring. They're too far behind the times. Tiresome old tunes and meaningless words. His father put an end to his son's complaints by saying, "If you think you can write better hymns, then why don't you?" So the boy went to his room and wrote his first hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The year was 1690. The teenager was Isaac Watts, who then eventually wrote "Joy to the World." "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Good news. Just 8 notes. Real good news. I want us to think together about that song that he wrote this morning. When he wrote that song, he based it on, believe it or not, an Old Testament passage. "Joy to the World" is based on Psalm 98. I want to encourage you to look with me at Psalm 98 this morning as we think about the great old song that is the best news in the world, and the psalm on which it was based, Psalm 98. The good news is that joy has come to the world because Jesus has been born. Why is that such good news? Jesus was born, okay, so what? Jesus came, that's part of God's plan. God is God, He's fulfilling His plan. That's what we would expect. Big deal. What difference does it make that Jesus was born? What makes this day a day of joy? Just because He was born. I want to show you what Christ brought with Him, what He does. When we understand what Christ And when we use that word, we're calling him Messiah. What does he do that would cause us to rejoice that he has come? The first thing that we see as we look at Psalm 98 is that Christ redeems. He redeems. In the song it says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing." Every heart who prepares him room can receive the King. Obviously, a reference to the fact that when Mary and Joseph wound up at Bethlehem, there wasn't room for them in the local hotel. And so they wound up having to stay out in the barn. You know the story well. Watts is saying, if you prepare a place in your heart, you make room for him. You set aside all the other things in life that you have to this point valued and prioritized. You reprioritize things so that you make room for him. If you let him come into your life, and he will come in as King. Based on these first two verses of Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Sing a new song. And every time we sing, it's a new experience. Sing to him a new song. We sing to God a song of praise. We rejoice every time we realize just how wonderful he is. It says, for he has done wonderful things. We sing to him, we rejoice, and we praise him because he has done wonderful things. It says his right hand. The right hand is always a reference to authority. You know, when we have somebody who really helps us out, who is our primary support, the person to whom we turn, we say he's our right-hand man. He's the person right there in a position of authority to back me up and help me do my job because he's doing his job. And so here is the reference to authority, his right hand, that place of authority, and his holy arm. The arm is always a reference to power. His power is beyond any other power, and yet it is holy power. He doesn't misuse any power ever because he is holy. He is in a position of authority and power in holiness. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Verse 2, the Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Isaac Watts recognized that verse as a reference to the coming of the Messiah. That now that Jesus has come, God has indeed made known his salvation. That we can be made right again. We can be saved. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Now the whole world can see God's righteousness because Jesus lived it out in the flesh right before them. They were able to see and experience God's righteousness right before their very eyes. Watts says that is a picture of what happened at Christmas, that the Lord made known his salvation. He revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. The one that was born in Bethlehem came to bear our sin so that we might be redeemed. Christ redeems. He comes to save. If you think about that for just a moment, think about that picture that we all have of that little baby laying there on the hay in that feeding trough. And picture those little bitty hands. You know, the little hands of a newborn. they're not quite proportional yet. Those little fingers are just a little bit too short to really look quite right. They're just so cute, but they're so precious and fragile. And picture those little bitty hands of that little bitty baby. And it was those very hands that would eventually touch the leper and make him whole. It was those very hands that would eventually break the bread and feed the thousands. It was those very hands that would eventually carry that cross. It was those very hands that would eventually be nailed to the cross where he would die for us. In that picture that we have of him as that little baby boy laying there in that feeding trough, so often we see the artist paint a little halo around his head, a little reminder that while he is human, he is also God. There's always, they put that little bit of light around his head, and we think about that little baby's head just laying there on that hay. Mom and Dad have done everything they could to make him comfortable as possible. And that little baby has laid his head on that pillow of hay, a little halo around it. And we realize that not very long after that, pretty quick actually, that same head would not be encircled with light, but would be encircled with thorns as he died for us. You know, I think that some of the carols get it a little bit wrong, really. Can I be honest and say that maybe some of the carols paint a picture that's not quite right? I'm not sure it was really such a silent night. It was a holy night, but this is a newborn. I think Jesus is crying most of the time. Isn't that what newborns usually do? If they're not asleep, they're crying. Jesus was crying. He was making happy noises as well. His little baby mouth was doing all the things that little baby mouths do. Looking for food, crying, screaming, making happy sounds, gurgling. And it was that very same mouth that in just a few short years would explain to the people the kingdom of God. It was that very same mouth that would say, "Rise, your sins are forgiven, be healed." It was that very same mouth that would speak to the forces of nature and say, "Peace, be still." And it would. And it was that very same mouth that would cry out from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." You see, that little baby boy that was born on Christmas, we picture him in the manger, but the reason he came was not to lay in a manger. The reason he came was to hang on a cross and to come back to life after that and to establish his church and come back for her someday. Christ redeems. The psalmist tells us that we don't need to wait until we get to heaven to sing the Lord's song. He says you can sing today. Sing to him a new song right now. Because we have joy right now. There will be a day when we get to heaven that we have a joy unspeakable. But we have joy right now as well. Because Christ has come. And so it was that night that the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I'm going to tell you stuff that's going to change the world." And the psalmist said he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. That joy is for all the people. In John 4, in John 15, Jesus has been telling his disciples about why he had taught them all the things that he had. He'd been teaching them, and then toward the end of his time with them, this is the last night he's with them, he says, now keep the stuff I've told you. Follow the commandments that I've given you. Do the things that I've taught you. Because when you do the things I taught you, you show me that you really do love me. And then he says, "And I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Remember, he came to complete our joy, to give us life. He came to redeem. There's a great old story that preachers have been telling for years. It's a story about a believer in Zimbabwe who tried to give a New Testament to a man who didn't want to take it. The man there in Zimbabwe finally went ahead and took that New Testament. And he said, I'm going to take it because this paper is just the right size that I can roll it up to make my cigarettes. And so the man said, okay, that's fine. Take the New Testament, use the paper for your cigarettes. Just when you tear off the page, would you glance at it and read it before you burn it? And the man said, fine. He took the Bible, went away. The guy who gave him the Bible didn't see him again for years. About 5 years later, they ran into each other again at a Christian conference. And it just so happened that one of the speakers at that conference was the man who received that New Testament. And when he got up to speak that time, he told his story about how somebody gave him a New Testament and he chose to use it for cigarette paper. And he says, I smoked Matthew, and I smoked Mark, and I smoked Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment. You see, it's good news that Christ has come. Not because that gives us an excuse to have a holiday, but it's good news that Christ has come because Christ redeems. He changes us if we'll let Him. He takes the old and makes it new. He takes the messed up and makes it complete. He takes our failures and our falling, our sinful nature, and He changes us into a new creation. 1 Corinthians. He makes us something new, something whole, something complete, something that has a purpose, a life that lasts forever. He redeems. And that's good news. But not only does Christ redeem, but He restores. The great carol says, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. In other words, because He is the King, let's sing to Him. The same thing that the psalmist said. Because He's a King, let's sing a new song. But then the carol goes on. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Nature is involved in this thing. Rocks are singing. Floods and plains and hills are repeating the sounding joy. The next verse of the carol says, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. Nature itself responds when Christ is born. Nature responds in joy because Christ has been born. How does that work? Let's look at the psalm. Verse 3. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth, including nature. Bring forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. You got mountains singing. Elsewhere in Scripture, we got trees that are clapping their hands. Now we've got we've got here trumpets and sounds and horns, and everybody's celebrating, and the sea itself is roaring. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains sing. How is it that nature rejoices? Remember what happened way back in the beginning? God created the heavens and the earth, and then he picked up some dust off the ground. He formed it and then breathed into a man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then he took that rib from man, he made woman. They lived together in paradise until what happened? Until they sinned. They chose to go their way instead of God's way. They chose to do things the way they wanted them done instead of the way he said they were to be done. And when they made that choice to disobey, to rebel, Scripture says all of nature fell. It's not just human nature that was affected. All of nature was affected. That's why roses have thorns. That's why bees have stingers. That's why Texas has mosquitoes. All of nature has fallen. Everything's messed up. But you see what happens since Christ redeems, he also restores. He not only restores a fallen humanity to a right relationship with God, but he also restores fallen nature to what it was intended to be, and even greater. In Romans chapter 8, at verse 21, he says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. You see, something's going to happen. Christ is one of these days going to restore creation. He's going to speak into existence a new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be restored. You see, if he didn't restore everything, then he wouldn't be Lord of all. He would only be Lord of people. Do we want him to only be Lord of people, or do we want him to really be in charge of everything that exists? We want to recognize him for who he is. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. He is God of all creation. Now that creation has fallen, he is going to restore all of creation. Christ redeems. Christ restores. And that's reason for us to rejoice. Revelation 21 says, He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. What curse? The curse that sin caused everything to fall. It will be made right again. There's reason to rejoice. There's reason to say Merry Christmas, because Jesus came to change it all. Christ redeems, Christ restores, and Christ reigns. The reason that we can rejoice is because he reigns. He is in charge. He is the King who has come. The carol says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. He rules the world. The psalmist said at the last verse of that Psalm 98, at verse 9, before the Lord, He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with integrity. He will judge the world with righteousness. Jesus is going to come back. He is going to come as judge. He is going to set everything right. He comes in righteousness. Jesus reigns. The same Savior who was a babe born in Bethlehem will one day return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because He reigns. After a called strike, the rookie batter was so upset with the call that he threw his bat high up into the air in anger and protest. The umpire turned quickly to the rookie and said, "Son, if that bat comes back down, you're out of the game." In the same way, you can be sure that all will face God's judgment. The bat's coming down, and you're gonna experience the consequences, young batter. And just as sure as we know the bat's going to come down, we know that Christ is going to return, and He will set all things right. Why do we say Merry Christmas? What's to be joyful about? We are joyful because Christ was born and He redeems, He restores, He reigns. An elderly gentleman greeted a young woman with a nice smile. He said, "Young lady, I'm the oldest resident in this town, and you are the prettiest woman here." "Well, that's very nice of you, sir," she said. "Thank you." As he walked away, she heard him mutter, "Don't thank me, it's a real small town." You see, you might think of yourself as all right when you compare yourself to the others around you. But God doesn't compare us to each other. He compares us to His standard of righteousness. And Scripture says that none of us measure up to that standard. Scripture says that because we cannot measure up to that standard, we need help. There's nothing that we can do to reach God's standard of righteousness. So what we need is somebody who can help us with this problem. Well, there's good news. Because the one who can help has come. The one who can help redeem you, restore you, and reign in your life has come. The one who makes it possible for us to be right with God has been born. Joy to the world.